This morning's reading is taken from Romans chapter 6 and starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning. Shall we just pray for a few moments? Father, we thank you for all the ways in which you have been speaking this morning, through the words of those wonderful songs, the prophetic words over Atticus, and we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd open up the written word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the story goes, a minister's young son watched his dad baptize people, and he was intrigued. So he thought to himself, I'd like to do that. I want to do some baptisms too. So the next day, he got together three cats. He baptized the first cat, although it wasn't exactly joyful. He baptized the second cat, although it wasn't exactly happy either. And then he tried to baptize the third cat, a great, big, fat, hairy tomcat. The cat resisted rather a lot, as it happens. It writhed and hissed. It lashed out with its claws, and then it bit the boy. In the end, he gave up and let it go. And as the cat ran off, he shouted, "All right then, have it your way. Be an atheist." Well, the baptism that we've witnessed this morning was extremely important for Atticus, and actually for all of us. Baptism is no small thing. Baptism is not just a religious ritual of some kind. Baptism was, in fact, explicitly commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. He never baptized anyone himself, but he certainly told the church to do it. And just before he left his disciples, he said this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, notice there that Jesus didn't just say, make disciples, and he didn't just say, baptize people either. You know, some people are baptized and sadly you never see them again. He said, in effect, disciple people and baptize them. The two things go together: discipleship, baptism. two sides of the same coin. Now, if you haven't been baptized and you're thinking about it, it's a very good thing. So let me just say a bit about it this morning. The word baptize, that's mostly used in the New Testament, means to immerse, which is what we've just seen. And Atticus was rather wetter when he came out than before he went in. But what does it mean? What is the significance of baptism? So baptism, then, the first point, washing and cleansing from sin. I was born in East Ham, where I spent my early years with my brother and our parents. We all lived together in two rooms, and unfortunately, there was no bathroom. The toilet was a privy out the back, and for a bath, we may do with an old-fashioned galvanised steel tub my dad kept in a shed at the bottom of the garden next to the air raid shelter. On a Friday night, you bring the tub in, carry it upstairs, fill it with hot water and soak in it. And then my mum would have a bath in it, followed by my brother and me. And by then, the water was a bit murky, to say the least. Then when I was about five, we moved to a brand new council house in South Hornchurch, which was wonderful. I vividly remember moving in and my mum taking me to a small room with this big white thing there. It was a bath. I don't think I'd seen a proper bath before. And what a joy it was to have a nice hot bath in clean water and to come out squeaky clean. It's nice to feel clean, isn't it? To know your body is completely clean. But it's even better to be clean on the inside. In the Old Testament, we read how a man called King David once made a complete mess of his life. He lusted after another man's wife, committed adultery with her, and then had her husband killed. But he had no peace in his heart until he prayed this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." That prayer was answered. And you know, God is always willing to forgive and to cleanse us too. And all because of Jesus, who died in our place and paid the price of our sin. He changed places with us that we might be washed clean. Hallelujah. This promise of cleansing became part of the message of the early church. When the Apostle Peter preached to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, they asked him how they could be saved, that is, to be forgiven and to be made clean. And he told them, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, the word repent here means to have a complete change of mind, a complete change of thinking. Actually, in life, to turn 180 degrees, as it were, and to go in a whole new direction, to follow Jesus rather than go our own way or go the way of the world. And there was a man called Saul who decided to do just that. When he had the most spectacular encounter with Jesus, he was told this by the risen Christ, Acts 22. "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." And so he did. And he had a clean heart, he had a change of name, and he became known as the Apostle Paul, the great apostle. And so baptism signifies cleansing and the washing away of our sin. And it's important to note that water by itself can do nothing in that respect, but When we are baptized in response to the word of God to us, when our baptism is our act of obedience to Jesus, when baptism follows faith, when what happens on the outside of us expresses what is happening on the inside of us, we are washed and completely cleansed on the inside. And we are not only cleansed, I believe that we are supernaturally united with Jesus. And that's something else that baptism represents, which brings us to the next point. We've seen baptism signifies washing and cleansing from sin, and baptism also signifies connecting and uniting with Christ himself. That reading from the Bible we heard earlier spoke of us being united with Christ, and that connection takes place in the waters of baptism. And the connection is so close that we are said to be baptized into Christ. Okay? Into Christ. Again and again in the New Testament, Christians are described as those who are in Christ. And so through baptism, we are united with Jesus in a new, close, personal relationship. Through baptism, we are connected and joined to Jesus in an intimate way. And through baptism, we become totally committed to Jesus himself and him to us. You might say it like this: from now on, life's not just about me, it's about me and Jesus. Rather like being united in a marriage, another biblical analogy of our relationship with Jesus. And St. Paul also used an interesting way of putting this in his letter to the Galatians. He wrote this: for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. It's like this. Just imagine for a few moments that you're an old-fashioned tramp like the ones you used to see in the films years ago. You've been living out on the streets for a very long time, and frankly, you've had enough. You've come to realise life could be so different. Tomorrow could be different. You don't want to live in filthy old clothes anymore, and you know you need a bath as well. And then someone very special helps you to get rid of the old clothes, have a good hot bath, and gives you a new suit to wear. Not only that, you're not on your own anymore. You're no longer out on the street where you were so vulnerable. You're now protected and well fed in this brand new relationship. And that's what happens in baptism. And Jesus is like that new suit that we put on. But there's more. There is really more. We've thought about washing and cleansing from sin and connecting and living in Christ, which brings us to the third thing. Baptism is about dying and rising with Jesus. In baptism, we also share in Christ's death and resurrection. We are, so to speak, dead and buried with him, and then rise to new life, just as he did. And St. Paul put it like this in that reading that we heard earlier, which Karen read to us: don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This dying and rising the reading speaks of is actually at the very heart of baptism. This is the essence, if you like, of baptism. In the Anglican Cathedral in Geraldton, Western Australia, there is a most unusual baptistry, that permanent pool for baptising people. And it's situated in the middle of the main aisle, rather like the one that we've got here this morning. And it's in the shape of a coffin, would you believe? It shows that going into the water in baptism is a bit like going into a watery grave. Fortunately, as you've seen with Atticus, the candidate doesn't stay under the water for very long. But it makes the point that when we are baptized, something is put to death. And that death is of the old life that we used to lead, our old way of life before we became Christians. That way of life has to die. You see, baptism means death to the person we once were. Baptism means death to being self-centered, unforgiving and hard-hearted towards others. Baptism means that as the water closes over us, so God closes the account for our past lives. And you know, death means death. Sometimes it can mean an end of our old hopes and dreams, yet only because God has something much better in store for us. You see, just as the person baptized rises up from the water, so he rises up to a new life, a life in which we have the presence of Jesus with us by his Spirit. You know, we prayed for Atticus, we prayed for the Holy Spirit to come, so important part of it. A life in which we can all experience the power of Jesus within us, a life in which his characteristics begin to be seen in us. It's the beginning today, okay? Beginning of a new life in Christ. His love, his joy, his peace, patience, kindness, and much more is to grow. Baptism, then, is the gateway to a whole new life, a new lifestyle, a life in Christ with his life in us by the Holy Spirit. I just love this verse from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, which for me kind of sums it all up. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, the life I live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we've seen then that baptism represents washing and cleansing from sin, connecting and uniting with Christ, dying and rising with Jesus himself. And now lastly, baptism represents joining and belonging to the church. This baptism that we saw today was not done in private. It was done very publicly in front of the whole church. It signifies that Atticus is now a member of the church, and I'm saying the whole family of all God's people around the world. He's connected to all Christians everywhere. He's now got millions and millions of brothers and sisters. It's as if his baptism is like a badge of membership of the worldwide Christian church. You see, we're not only baptized, immersed into Christ, we are baptized, immersed into his body, that is the church. Again, St. Paul, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. And that has consequences. We are not a group of individuals anymore. We belong to each other. We have a partnership with privileges and responsibilities towards each other. And one of the things we most need to do is to pray for each other. And it was so good to see Atticus prayed for as he came up from the water. We've already prayed for him, and there's more to be done. You know, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And soon after, he went through a time of testing. And that can happen too. I've seen baptism candidates baptized, and then some troubles came. So we need to pray, don't we, for Atticus to be protected from the enemy and to be strengthened and to go on with Jesus in a risen life. In closing, let me say that baptism amounts to a set of declarations. A declaration to heaven of our belief in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. A declaration to the church that we're part of it. A declaration to the world and its values that we're finished with it. Declaration to the devil that we've changed sides and we're under new management, which is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Baptism. Washing and cleansing from sin. Connecting and uniting with Christ. Dying and rising with Jesus. Joining and belonging to his church. What about you and me this morning? Perhaps you're still thinking about baptism. Again, I'd encourage you in that thinking process. Do please talk to David or myself or somebody after the service. Or perhaps you were baptized a long time ago. It's not been easy, and you sense that you need to make a kind of a fresh start. You know, Jesus is here today. He's here by his Spirit. And we're going to pray for people at the end of the service that they want to be prayed for. But right now, let's all pray and make that fresh commitment to Jesus Christ and renew the promise that we have made to follow him. Let's pray. And you can make this prayer your own when you say Amen at the end. Lord, I thank you that you reached out to all of us, including me. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Lord, I turn to you again this morning. I want to be clean. And I thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon me and raise me up to continue in fellowship with you and to live the life that you planned for me long ago. In Jesus' name.